This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham alongside Toby Altizer will take you up to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Big show for you all. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. So make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all day for that Game 1 of the Caps opening round series coming up this Monday from Cap One Arena. Super, super excited about that. 6 days away from the NFL draft, though. That is what I am even more excited about. And it's crazy. I was saying it to you, Toby, before we came back from break. It feels like with this year's draft, I've contradicted myself each and every day on social media.
Well, you've never done that, by
never.
The way. That's kind of new.
Contradicting myself?
Yeah, that's a pretty new one for you.
Sell that to someone who's buying. But no, the one thing that I continue to feel about this draft is it's the most wild card driven draft I think we'll ever see here in recent memory in terms of the Commanders at pick number 29. I think they can go any which way. I think there's a bunch of speculation about what's going to happen at the top of the draft. We'll obviously get into that as well in terms of what happens with the quarterbacks. But with Washington at 29, I feel like, and this is something that we do as a toxic fan base, right? Everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to have their guy get picked. This is the first time really in a while where I think anything can happen at pick number 29. Literally anything. There are so many different positions of need that this group has. Let me rephrase that. That's looking at it with the glass half empty. The glass half full, I'm hearing this weird echo. I know you're probably hearing it too. The glass half full approach is, well, they've done what they've needed to in free agency, so there aren't any glaring holes that you have to address. And one thing we'll get into before we get out of here is what do they need to leave the draft with?
Yeah.
Because I think there are some things that you for damn sure need. But I want to talk about running back here for a second because it feels like it's the sexy position that everyone wants. Washington needs a home run hitter in the backfield. I understand that completely. But what I will say about running back is this. Starting to lean towards it being irresponsible to take a running back at 29 and 61, depending on who's on the board. Now, if Omarion Hampton is on the board at 29, like that becomes a very difficult conversation for me. If Trevion Henderson is on the board at 61, that becomes a difficult conversation for me. But at 29, if I'm having to pick between Trevion Henderson and an elite edge rusher or Nick Emenwori at safety, like, I think positional value, we don't equate that or factor that enough into the conversation when it comes to running back. We just look at, oh, we need a guy to be explosive on offense.
I think this is a great discussion because I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah talk about this the other day. When you look at this draft and we talk about the quality of the players in this draft, maybe this is a unique one in that you kind of throw a little bit of that away. You don't fully take it out because there is understanding that an edge rusher is more impactful and worth more because you can't find them growing on trees, right? Like, you can't find an edge rusher as easily as you can a running back that can be effective. But the thing that I think is interesting here is you say you don't want to draft Travion Henderson at 29. That's understandable. But if you're given the option between edge rusher 5 or if you have Travion as a guy that you're running back 3 and he's, say, 18 on your board, and edge rusher 6 who's available at 29 is somewhere in the 30s, I wouldn't be mad if they did it, because to me, when you look at this offense, to me, they're one weapon away. You want a speedy receiver? Fine. You want to go another pass-catching tight end? Fine. You want to get an explosive running back? Fine. I think one of those things needs to happen. Running back's the easiest. I think the part about this that makes it so intriguing, though, and why I think you have a good point here, is at 29, you're going to end up spending a premium pick on a running back that theoretically is better, but not significantly better than a guy that you could get maybe in the third or fourth round. Like, to me, what is the gap between Travion Henderson and my guy from Virginia Tech, Bashiel Tutin? I think there's a gap. Yeah. I think Henderson's better, but if you could get Bashiel Tutin in the third or fourth round, that's a better value than spending number 29 on Travion Henderson. So I think that's what they really have to weigh.
And that's why the draft is such a unique way to acquire talent, because you're dependent upon others. Like free agency, you kind of just, you throw the most money at the guy you want, you get him. Here, you're really at the mercy of what happens in front of you. I just don't know, man. Like, Omarion Hampton, I've banged on the table for him. I don't think the gap between him and Jenty is that big. I felt that way since the start of the process. Every mock draft that you see now, though, it's becoming less and less likely that Henderson is there at 29. I don't think Omarion Hampton's going to be there at 29.
Yeah, he's not going to be there at 29.
So with that being the case, like, I'm not taking Travion Henderson at 29. Like, and I know there are some people that probably feel like that's the appropriate thing to do. I just think, last night I was saying to you that I watched the Falcons game over last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there in bed and I'm getting goosebumps, because I'm remembering how damn good this quarterback is, talking about Jaden Daniels. And because he is so good, I get wanting to load up the skill group on offense, but he is going to mask and cover up for a lot of your sins on the offensive side of the football. Go defense. This defense couldn't stop anybody last year on the ground. I think there are more defensive prospects in this draft anyway than there are offensive guys. So, like, at 29 and 61, my ideal scenario, probably, Toby, is walking away with two impact starters on defense.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but to play devil's advocate mm-hmm. here, you said you watched that Atlanta game. You watched number 7 in the Falcons uniform destroy Washington's defense. If you could get a guy like that, now, Bijan is one of a kind.
Well, you're not, that's the thing.
But if Travion Henderson's there at 29, I think this is the most reasonable discussion, because there is a chance he could be.
Yeah.
I think he can be that kind of back. Not as good as Bijan, but a home run hitter. Where, think about this. This is what I'm picturing right now. This is why I want an explosive back. I want Jaden to run a read option. They're so worried about 5 mm-hmm. that they leave that hole open, and all of a sudden Travion Henderson breaks one tackle and he's gone for 65. B-Rob can't do that. Eckler can't do that. They can break that first tackle, but they're picking up 10-15. I want a dude that is a house call waiting to happen so that you have to respect 5 and you have to respect the running back.
So what I think is my bigger want, and I think maybe, hopefully I speak for all of us, hopefully you all agree with me, I don't think, like, running back is the need, quote-unquote, on offense. I think it's an explosive,
correct,
home run hitting type of player. That could be via wide receiver. That could be via the running back spot. Or, look, the kid, Arroyo from Miami, the tight end.
Yeah, Elijah Arroyo.
Dude. Gas.
Yeah, I'm telling
he's an explosive weapon on the offensive side of the football. So I get the bigger point of wanting to get more explosive, because last year, I mean, it was fun to watch. It's demoralizing to other teams. But how likely is it that you can duplicate or replicate last year going 17 plays, eating up 8:30 o'clock? Like, that's not a lifestyle you want to live, so to speak.
Yeah, I think, like I said, they're one weapon short. And you choose what that is. And really, you can figure that out in the draft. If, you know, this stud receiver that you didn't think was going to be there, maybe that's the way. Or a running back, whatever. Yeah. Because to me, what you have is Terry's your number one. We know that. There's no question. Terry can do a little bit of everything. I want Terry to be able to do everything, though. And right now, he's your really only speed threat in the offense.
Right.
And so, you're again, mentioned in the Falcons game. AJ Terrell's on him. Also, either Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons, always over the top of Terry.
Yeah.
I want it so that another receiver on the other side makes that safety not on the hash on Terry's side, but in the middle of the field, right? It's because this guy's speedy. Okay, well, if I can't have that, I've got horizontal with Debo, right? You've got to be able to understand that. You've got to be able to set the edge and do those things against Debo with where he's moving all around and those screens, you got to be physical. Okay, well, I need someone that then can penetrate the defense up the middle. And I need someone that doesn't just get me 5 yards. Like, I think B-Rob is going to be better this year than he was last year. I think the second half of last year was not good at all.
I think he was nicked up, too. Well, he almost broke his ankle.
That might be the case. But my thing is, I want a dude that you are scared when he touches the football. Like, every time Jahmyr Gibbs touched the football in that playoff game, he went, uh-oh. Get him on the ground, please.
Yeah.
Every time that Bijan touched the football against Atlanta, you're like, are they going to be able to get him? I want that sort of dude in the backfield. Or, to your point, if it needs to be another seam-stretching tight end, right? Zach Ertz is going to be all reliable in the middle of the field, 7 to 8 yards past the line of scrimmage, always open because he's just chilling in the soft spots of the zone. If I can get a dude that can run up the seam and creates another problem there, so it doesn't have to be all three of those things, whether it's a speedy receiver, a seam-stretching tight end, or a explosive running back. But if you get me one of those, I think your offense goes to that next level.
For sure, and I think relative to running back, it's just such a deep class, man, that there's better value at the running back position on day three, late day two. Like, I would not feel comfortable, and I've gone back and forth on this, and maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and feel completely different when I crack the mic. But, like, this morning, today, like, it feels like going running back at 29 or 61 may be irresponsible depending on who's on the board and what your other needs are. And it feels like, to me, defense. Like, the closer we get to the draft, the closer the more I remember how much this defense struggled last year. And you lost Jeremy Chinn. And as excited as we are about Will Harris and the play style that he showed in New Orleans, he's not a guy that's been a formidable starter throughout the duration of his career. And I get that doesn't mean that he can't be. But, like, if Nick Emenwori is there at 29 staring me in the face, more importantly, and I don't think this guy will be there, if Malachi Starks is staring me in the face at 29, like, how do I choose a running back over that, knowing the big glaring hole I have at safety? And some of you may not agree with that, right? I love Percy Butler as a special teamer. Being a regular on defense, not something I think he's prepared for. I think he takes bad angles. I don't think he tackles very well. But he fits the brand of what they want to be.
Sure.
He's fast. He's explosive. He's going to fly around. He's a war daddy on special teams. That's great. If he never turns into a starting safety, he's going to be able to have generational wealth and feed his family for years. That's great. I just feel like that may be the one position where I go, are we sure that we like what we have there? You're an injury to Quan Martin away from feeling like you have nothing at safety. If we're being real about it.
100%. And this is where I think they put themselves in a good spot, where at 29 you can go a lot of different directions. And I just think there needs to be an understanding where they could go running back, they could go receiver, they could go a lot of different places, because it might be as simple as on their board, their overall board, they have this guy 10, 15, 20 spots higher than the guy you want them to take. You know, is it better to go and say, I have to take the edge rusher, I have to take James Pierce, I have to take choose your edge rusher that might be available at 29, versus this guy shouldn't have been here according to our board, and so we just got to take him. Whether it's running back, whether it's safety, whether it's corner, whatever it may be. If Colston Loveland is there at 29 at tight end,
you run in the pick.
I'll take that.
You sprint to the – there are certain guys – that if they're there at 29, this is what's so interesting. And I think the good teams in the NFL benefit from this year in, year out, like your Kansas City,
Philly,
Buffalo, Philly, Baltimore, those teams that are consistently picking at the back end of the draft, they're constantly having a really good football player fall to them that shouldn't be there.
Well,
and I think that's what Washington's going to run into.
This is what I want to correct our fan base on, because it's really frustrated me with this. So many people are like, well, 29, basically a second-round pick. It's really difficult to find your guy. That's what good teams have to deal with.
I know, right.
That's how it works. Like, I'm sorry that your team has sucked for my entire life,
yeah.
Right? Our team has sucked for our entire life. We're used to picking in the top 15. Just because you're picking at 29 doesn't give you the excuse like, well, they don't hit it this year, no big problem.
No.
You have to hit it.
For sure.
This is what Adam Peters and these guys get paid for.
Yeah.
That's what their job is.
To your point, and this, like, we're jumping all over the place here. That's why, to me, at 29, this idea of taking, oh, the edge rusher ran 4 flat, though. His 10-yard split, though. No. Get me production. Give me a guy that's done it at the collegiate level. At a high level, like the Shamar Stewart thing, Shamar Stewart from A&M, like the sack production is not there for him. It's tough, right? When you go out and you knock the combine out of the park the way that he did, but he had 4.5 sacks over the span of 4 years. Like, that to me scares the hell out of me.
Well,
I don't need a guy that they're going to have to develop. I need someone that can come in and contribute right away.
I just need you to understand that they don't get an excuse because they're picking so late.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a throwaway pick. It's still a first-round pick. They have to hit on these things. They have to. Like, why is Philadelphia still good year after year after year? They hit on their draft picks, whether they're picking in the top 15 or whether they're picking in the 30s. You have to hit on your draft picks. And so at pick number 29, whether it's an edge rusher, wherever they go, they have to be able to hit on it. And by the way, it's not just we pick the right guy. You have to develop this guy. You have to turn them. Because I go back to Ron. I don't necessarily love what Ron did in the draft, the guys that he drafted that none are here, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the issue for Ron was who he drafted. I think part of it is he drafted guys that he overdrafted and then couldn't develop them at all. If you say at 29, I want to go for this guy because we need an edge rusher and maybe there's a better player, but we can develop this guy into being a stud, then do that. But I hate this notion that it's like, oh, we should trade the first rounder because it's basically a second rounder for this guy, or we should do this, and it's really tough to find somebody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, certain teams in the NFL are really, really good. They're always picking in the late end of the first round, yet they still find good players. Trent McDuffie wasn't a top 5 pick. Right? And Trent McDuffie's a stud, one of the best corners in the league. You can find good players late. So miss me with this idea that Washington at 29 now has some excuse where they can't hit on a draft pick.
You have to
hit it.
I totally agree with you. I think, especially off of what you accomplished last year, going to the NFC Championship game, you are very much in your Super Bowl window as we continue to talk about whether you all are comfortable admitting it or not. Like, this is a group, based off the moves they made this offseason, that clearly feels like they are going for it. So I think your draft needs to reflect that as well. A lot more to get to. We'll continue the conversation on the National Football League as we continue to move throughout the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, though, caller number 9, the time is yours. Call in to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals Monday, April the 21st. Versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. I can make the argument for any position being taken there. And I think that's the beautiful part about this. And I know there are fans out there that are going to pigeonhole themselves into one spot and say, edge rusher, edge rusher, edge rusher. I was once you. I was there at the beginning of the offseason. After watching Saquon Barkley run roughshod in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, yes, we need an edge rusher. 100%. But I think good teams don't stay good by drafting for need.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's not what you do. I don't think any good team does that.
Best player available.
Point blank.
Very simple. Best player available. And if it's something where you've got guys that are very close on your board, like say you got the 18th and the 21st player, and the 21st player is a guy you need at a position of need, then fine. You go with that. But in general, you get yourself in trouble when you just draft only for need, because you start overdrafting guys, you start bringing in dudes that maybe you're reaching on a little bit that don't always fit. Go best player available, who you feel fits best, and this is what they did a good job of, because right now, I don't think there's a glaring hole. I think there's still a hole
at edge rusher,
and I think there are still holes around the roster. There's nothing glaring that if right now, they had to play next week. They had to show up to Ashburn and Speedy get ready for a game next week. They could do it, and they wouldn't feel like there's a glaring weakness. There are weaknesses. They're always going to
I'd feel damn good about the chance.
But you would feel fine because you feel okay about what they've got. So That's what they've done a good job of, where you're not pigeonholed into saying, especially this is something you have to do, by the way, when you're picking this late in the draft, right? Like, this is something that plays into it. You don't know what's going to be there.
Right.
Part of the reason I think that it seems like some of the intrigue around the draft is a little bit different around here this year is obviously last year it was number two. You know, they're going quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, kind of had an idea. We're talking Jaden versus Drake versus Caleb. We're doing all those discussions. But this year, to your point, who are they going to pick?
Anybody.
No idea.
That's the great part about it. And I just know there are some positions out there, though, that fans are going to roll their eyes at if they pick. Like, I'm glad you mentioned grade and who you think is the best. I'm not scouting the players. You're not scouting the players. Jeff's not scouting the players.
Thankfully, we're not.
Well, yeah. Well, they could use my.
Although, I do think I could have done a better job than some of Ron's first round picks.
Well.
I would have drafted Christian Gonzalez, which is enough to say right there.
Emmanuel Forbes. Anywho. But no, like, it all depends on who they have on their board and how it's stacked. I could see them going offensive tackle at 29. I could see them going guard at 29. I could see them going defensive tackle at 29. It's all about who they have as the best player there. Tight end is the one position that gets interesting to me because they re-signed Zach Ertz, because you spent premium draft capital a season ago on Ben Sinnott. Can you go tight end at 29 or 61?
Sure, absolutely you can. If Colson Loveland's there.
I was about to say, if Colson Loveland's there, for sure. I just wonder, because right now I think teams are probably, this weekend is when you're having your final meetings, probably in your draft boards getting set.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what they're going to do, obviously. Do you lean on them sticking and picking? Or do you think they end up trading out of this spot?
I think they would love to trade back. I don't think that there are suitors to trade back with. Just because...
Well, I think it depends on how the top of the draft goes.
Well, 100%. But let's just assume that...
And if Pittsburgh takes someone at 21, meaning a quarterback.
The best case scenario for Washington for a potential trade back, Cam Ward's going 1-1. We already know that. That's kind of set in stone. He was basically telling you on Fortnite the other night with his ridiculous answers that he was going to Tennessee.
I hated that, by the way.
I thought that was hilarious.
Like, are you kidding? You gotta kiss your
Brown's
own guy's ass that much?
Come on. Calvin Ridley.
Traylon Burks.
Top four receiver
that was
the
one that got me. Traylon, like, come on.
He's a big Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears.
It honestly makes Cam Ward come off as a complete fraud. If I'm being honest with you.
No, it is what it is.
Brother.
It is what it is. It's just
you my dog.
It's just playing.
Love co-hosting with you. If somebody had to ask me who are your best teammates playing basketball at the radio station, I'm not gonna say you. I would say other names before you.
That's so disrespectful.
I wouldn't just for the case of doing it.
So disrespectful.
Well, you guys haven't seen the Toby Altizer jump shot reel.
Yeah, well, there isn't one. or if it is, it's very short. But regardless, when you look at how this draft can go if they want to trade back, which is what I think, if you asked them, they would love to. They need quarterback to slide. So,
and
Shador's not going to be available at 29. Someone's going to either draft him or they're going to come up into the mid-20s and get him, or early teens or whatever, to get him to make sure he doesn't go to Pittsburgh if they're enthralled with him or whatever the case
may be.
That'd
be a nightmare.
The interesting one is, does someone want Jackson Dart? I don't think Jalen Milroe's a first-round guy, but he was invited to the draft.
For a reason.
Does someone want one of those guys enough? Because someone's not trading up more than likely for, unless you're just trading back like six picks to the early second round. I don't know that someone's trading up for like a Mecca Ibuka. Someone's not trading up likely for Trevion Henderson.
Probably not.
Or maybe.
Maybe with the running back because of the how weird the second contract has gotten for that position. Having that extra year becomes more valuable. I get that, but. To your point, the Jalen Milroe thing to me is very interesting.
Very interesting.
I think his rushing ability is the best trait that any quarterback has in this draft.
No question.
Like, his ability to run, like, it's better than Shador's ball placement. It's better than Cam Ward's ability to make plays off schedule. Jalen Milroe, I feel like it's a lazy comp because they both played for Alabama and they're swole. But it feels like Jalen Hurts.
Well, no, to me, it feels
like a faster Jalen.
It feels like a worse passing Justin Fields at Ohio State, where he can run, and you've seen what Fields can do in the league running.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking top three, top four
running quarterbacks.
He's probably a better runner.
Three.
But Fields is one of the best running quarterbacks in the league. Like,
for sure.
When you're ranking running quarterbacks in terms of rushing ability, in that style, right? Not the big bruising Josh Allen type, right. But you're looking Lamar, you're looking Jaden, you're looking Justin Fields. Jalen Milrow is right in there. Now, 100%. Can he play quarterback at the NFL level in terms of being in the pocket, being accurate with the football, making right decisions? I don't think so. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but if someone's intrigued that they can develop him, that rushing ability is really, really legit.
Pittsburgh at 21 is the one that interests me because of what Arthur Smith could potentially do with him. I just look at this quarterback class in general and go, I feel like we're sleeping on it a little bit, especially with the guys at the top. I am more of a Shador Sanders guy than a Cam Ward guy. I think the Shador slander has come based off of, like, last name, and we're making – I feel like because he doesn't have these massive elite traits, that, like, we're docking other things because kind of my frustration with him.
Here's where I land on Shador. I like Shador. I really do. In my opinion, take it for what it's worth. I don't get paid the big bucks to make draft picks for a reason, right? So take my opinion for what it's
worth.
You're
okay.
But when I'm looking at this draft class, I would take Shador as my top quarterback. The reason I think that Cam Ward and some of these other guys maybe get talked up a little bit more is I think Shador, at his best, at his ceiling, is like 15th best quarterback in the league. Because he's going to have to play with timing. He's going to have to play Joe Burrow football. And I don't think
can he be Joe Burrow?
Because he's not Joe Burrow. He's not. Like, I think Joe Burrow's more elusive.
If you gave him Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, what type of numbers would Shador Sanders put up?
He had Travis Hunter.
It's one guy.
I understand that.
Burrow had Travis quartet Hunter, of dudes.
They didn't win anything. I understand the O-line. I get all that stuff. But Joe Burrow's better in that sense. And it's not even close. But I think if you're going to get him, your ceiling is capped. Versus Cam Ward, if you can coach him up, I think there are bigger red flags with Cam Ward. But if you can coach him up, he can get into the top 10.
That's where the arrogance comes from some of these evaluators, because you got to believe in your heart of hearts when you're selecting a guy that you have the infrastructure for him to hit his ceiling.
Correct.
You can talk about a guy's ceiling all day long till you're blue in the face. Do you have what it takes in your building to make sure that guy is going to have the necessary resources, the pieces around him to hit that ceiling? I don't think every organization can say that.
It's very similar to how these NBA drafts work at times, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Cam Ward, to me, even though he had a lot of production this past season at Miami, Cam Ward, to me, is very much so like the guy that you draft and you have to be able to develop this guy because it's all talent-based and potential-based versus, you know, drafting a dude who's been a role player averaging 15 in college that you don't think as high as a ceiling. I think that, to me, is the difference. If I had to take someone that I think for sure is going to be a quarterback that I can depend on to be a starter for a decade in this league, I think I could coach Shador into that. But I don't think I can get the ceiling out of Shador that I could get out of Cam Ward, and that's why teams will probably be more enamored with Cam Ward, and that's why he's going to go first overall.
It's going to be interesting. Let's open up the phones here for the first time this show. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at us as well. It's at NELL_BTP and at Toby_Altizer. You can tweet at the 1067 The Fan page as well. When we come back, what does Washington have to leave the draft with? It's next day on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley here on 1067 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer sitting in for the fellas. Brian back on Monday. Right now, though, talking all things NFL draft, 6 days out. 6 days out from the start of the NFL draft.
Crazy, isn't it?
I want to warn everybody, after the draft, if they hit the draft and knock the draft out of the park, I feel like I'm going to become insufferable. I told you I watched the Falcons game back last night, and I got all the feels. Goosebumps, hairs on the back of my neck standing up. Watching Jaden play quarterback, I forgot how much of a joy it was.
It's a blessing. It's the best thing ever. Also, rewatching the Falcons game, did you get the same sinking feeling when Jaden got bent backwards?
Dude, it was awful.
Right?
I still couldn't watch the replay.
I don't understand how he just popped up like, all right, whatever, on to the next.
He's so cool, bro. So first of all, the moment that you're talking about, we all know it. You could have heard a pin drop. I think it was me and Denton were out at Tom's Watch Bar the Harbor.
Yeah, I was in the corner of FedEx or Northwest Stadium watching that. That place was dead silent. We're like, not again.
Yeah.
Not again.
I just hope moving forward that we don't have to worry about that, which is why I would be okay if they went offensive line with the first two picks in the draft. I wouldn't care. like I said, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. What we're asking you on the phones, though, at 1-800-636-1067, what did the Commanders have to leave the draft with? Like, when you wake up Sunday morning and you're reading all of the draft grades that have been given out, what would cause you to give Washington a failing grade? What do they have to leave the draft with? It's honestly a difficult question because of how well they did during free agency.
But, oh, so you thought they did a good job in free agency?
I'm counting the trades as a part of free agency.
Because to be honest with you,
I like their free agent class a lot. I think it was similar to last year's class in terms of
give it.
They'll outplay their contracts, I think.
I'll give it. What grade would you give it? I just want to get your thoughts first.
Am I counting Debo and Tunsil?
Sure, count that.
They're free agency. I give them an A minus.
Oh boy,
B plus A minus.
I'm like C plus B minus, and the only thing salvaging it for me is the Tunsil trade.
Everywhere that they address every hole that we talked about,
I don't think, in some shape or fashion. Maybe it has more to do with my expectations compared to what happened. I expected them to be not just a little bit better, but pretty significantly better. And I don't know that I feel like they're significantly better. I feel like they're a little bit better. I feel better in some spots and worse in a couple. But if they didn't make the Tunsil trade, I would not be happy with their offseason.
So I hear that, and that's being more critical probably than I would be. From what they showed last year in free agency, I think, like, your Olamide Zaccheaus signing last year, like, when he was signed last year during free agency, no one cared. No one was clapping their hands. I look at the Dietrich Wise signing is something that's similar to that. A guy that maybe isn't a household name, but will come in here and outplay the value of his contract. I think he's a guy that could do that. Jonathan Jones, to bring up more expatriates.
Yeah, like
I love
Jones.
Bringing him in. He gives you legit flexibility at the corner spot, and I think you're going to have a real tough competition this summer because I would be okay with running it back with Lattimore and Samuelson on the outside and having Noah Igbinoghi be your slot, but obviously you're going to compete for that. I think this team this year, and this is a good thing, is going to be way harder to make this year than it was last year, is how I would put it.
Yeah,
they're going to have some difficult cuts that they're going to have to make.
I'll agree on that. I think just the tough part is comparing last year's free agency to this year's free agency. Last year, they caught lightning in a bottle in a lot of cases. And maybe they can do it again. I don't know that I want to get comfortable continuing to say, hey, instead of going and getting a real difference maker that people know, let's go get Dietrich Wise. Like, I think he could be a good player. There's also, you know, like, is he going to have a Dante Fowler type? I think he can be a solid player. I'm not trying to take a knock on him. But, like, I thought that at the end of free agency going into the draft, I'd look at this team and say, yep, they're definitively better. And, you know, the draft is going to be a big part of this, but I don't know that I really can say that with the exception of at left tackle, Tunsil really, really upgrades that position. Because we talked about, the reason I bring this up is more so because my premise was Jaden's rookie season was going to be the worst roster he was going to play with. And I still think that's going to be the case. But I don't know that year two, his roster is going to be head and shoulders above what it was year one. And I thought it would be.
You're like raining on my parade after watching the Falcons game last night. I just think I think we're underestimating the impact that he would have. And I think it's hard to do that because how good he was. But, like, really, he's that damn good.
Well, and here's the thing. You're not wrong. But I think the idea that you just want him to always be that is a little bit foolish. Like, Kansas City doesn't have Patrick Mahomes be Superman 60 minutes out of the game. Final 5 minutes of the game when they need it? Sure. Different points throughout the game? Sure. Josh Allen, you know, I think that's the difficult part. When you put everything on his shoulders, can he do it? Yes.
Yeah.
Should you make a living by him doing that? Probably not.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. What do the Commanders have to leave the NFL draft with next week? Matt is in Stafford. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, Darius and Toby. Happy Easter. Happy Easter, everyone.
So, do Sarah, I get to...
Easter Bunny's coming to town.
Do I get to react
Sorry,
to that? can you readdress us? Can you say who you think you're talking to again?
Oh, my gosh. Wrong time slot. I'm so sorry.
It's all good, Matt. Darius is great, too, but Linnell's in today. What's your take on the – who do they have to leave the draft
for? Wrong black guy on the fan, Matt.
You got to excuse me.
Just when you think you made it in life.
Hey.
Good God.
Okay. Quarterback is the position that I think they'll take one of the first two picks with, and I think they also have to. They'll be enabling Mike Sanders still to be all over the place like Charles Woodson played for the Packers. And I think that'd bring the defense to a whole nother level. So I'd like to see him get maybe Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech.
Hey, sign me up for Hokies.
Linnell, I love you, man. You know I love you. Apologies. I'll make it up to you.
Do you love me or do you love Darius or do you love both?
You know what? I love Darius too. He knows that.
Darius is a lovable
Dad
guy.
Too.
Just messing with you, Matt. Just messing
appreciate
with you.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate your call as always, brother. Happy Easter weekend. We get to say that to people. I was saying it to Jeff when he walked in. It's Easter weekend. What do the Commanders have to leave the NFL draft with? Zeke is in Southeast. What's going on, Zeke?
What's up, Zeke?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today? Love your show.
Good. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys, let me ask you a question. Do you think last year's draft was a success? Just the draft picks. We had 9 draft picks, right? Out of those draft picks, we got what, 3 starters?
Yes, last year's draft was a success.
3 starters, 5 contributors.
Okay, well, already this year's draft is already a success. He traded the draft picks, and we got a new offensive starting left tackle. That allows us to get another right tackle if we move the rookie over to right tackle. That's a new starting left right tackle. You got Debo, a new starting wide receiver. You got a new defensive lineman as a starter. We already have more starters before we even pick in the draft than we did last year. So I think the draft has already been a success because we used the picks to get starters. Now for the 29th pick, if we don't go defense, I don't care. The best player on defense, I don't care if it's a lineman, linebacker, cornerback, that's what I'll be shooting for. We got too many mouths to feed on offense. You got a good running back group, you got a good wide receiver group. Who's going to get the ball? That's my thoughts. Tell me what you think.
For sure. I appreciate you as always, brother.
That's an interesting point because I think that is something that you have to consider, that when we heard build through the draft and supplement through free agency and their philosophy, I think they're still trying to do that, but they're also looking at it differently where suddenly because of how successful last year was, they had to accelerate things and using draft assets to improve your roster, you know, that's kind of what they've done, where they've gone and got Lattimore, they've gone and got Debo, they've gone and got Laremy Tunsil. I admit there's a little bit of weakness in my game here because I am such a draft nut. I can't say that your draft was successful already and you haven't even drafted anybody yet because you traded so many picks away.
It's different.
I think they still need to nail some of these picks because in the short term, you definitely, if they don't get anybody and you end up just having picks from this year turn into Lattimore, Tunsil, and Debo, then sure, I get his point. But in order for this to be built long-term so that we're winning for the next decade, like we're talking about a winning football team for the next decade, then you got to hit on these draft picks. So I can't say it's successful from that standpoint yet.
Yeah, I hear you. It's going to be interesting. We'll continue to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. What does Washington have to leave the draft with? We'll take your calls on the other side. Plus, we're giving away Caps tickets all afternoon long right here on The Fan. Game 1 tickets being given away today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance to win coming up to 12:20. We're back next year on The Fan.